is Denver's home for today's comedy, Comedy 103.1. It's Big Mike. Excited to get this man in studio. He's over here selling out Comedy Works downtown. Adding some extra shows, though. We'll have information on that. He was part of the series Undateable and also probably part of one of the biggest controversies of the year that we're going to get to. We have Chris D'Elia. What's up, man?
How you doing? Man. Good. I'm glad to be here.
Welcome to the Mile High City.
Thanks, man.
So like I said, you're a part of a very huge controversy. A few weeks ago, we had Brent Morin in here, and he won the lip sync battle.
I don't believe that.
I mean, you know, went back and watched it. A lot of people argue that you should have won the lip sync battle.
I don't really actually... I remember, you know what, to be honest, I remember there was a reason I came up with in my head why he won.
Yeah.
And now I totally forget what it was.
Because it was made up. It wasn't
sense.
Real.
Yeah. But I mean, I rewatched this stuff. There's no way I lost.
Exactly.
There's just no way. First of all, he didn't even lip sync it, really.
Right.
I don't know if you saw it, but he was like kind of almost doing it.
Yeah.
But I got all the words.
You got the wiggle down.
And I took my shirt off. I did really great body rolls.
I think Jason Derulo was taking notes from your performance.
I mean,
I hope
he saw it, yeah.
I'm pretty sure like the next night when he performed, there was a little bit of you in his set.
Yeah, how could there not be?
Exactly.
I put that energy out there.
If it's any solace, I heard that he did not even get the belt, even though they promised he'd get one. They said
really?
He said he never even got it.
Okay, good. Good. So, maybe they're sending it to me.
No, yeah, exactly. You're not a real champ if you don't got the belt.
No.
What's been going on with you, man?
No, I just got here to Denver, and I have so many shows now. I have 8 shows here, so
wow.
I'm trying to work the hour for the new special. And
Comedy Works is putting you to work.
Yeah, I'm putting them to work too.
So you had several shows. Some of them sold out, and so you actually added some midnight shows.
Yeah.
That are now on sale. You can go to comedyworks.com, and those will go fast. So if you want to get those, you'll probably want to get this morning or this afternoon before they're gone.
Yeah, those are the only shows left. So.
Now, you've done Comedy Works before, right?
I have, yeah. Yeah. I you know, I'm doing 8 shows at the club. I could have done a theater, but I like the club so much that I just kind of figured I'd be here for the weekend and do some shows.
Yeah, you know, usually when comedians come in, they're doing the downtown club. They talk about how amazing it is and how it's, you know, a great environment. For you, what is it about Comedy Works that, you know, you find special?
It's... The audience really knows how to watch comedy, you know, and that's because that happens when a club is really good and people come back because they know when they go to the club. It's not necessarily what comedian they're going to see, even though obviously people are going to see specific comedians, but they're going because of the club and that they know when they're there, they're going to get good comedy. And so they're just kind of like, for lack of a better word, trained to be an audience.
Exactly. And you're going to be there this weekend, Comedy Works downtown. You get the tickets at comedyworks.com. This whole comedy thing, how did it start for you? What made you get into it? What made you want to be getting a stand-up? And
I mean, the first thing I ever told my dad I wanted to do was be a stand-up comedian. I just kind of always wanted to do it, man. I waited till I was 25 to start because I was scared.
Yeah.
And then once, you know, you get a few bombs out of the way, you just kind of realize that that's what you were scared of. And I started in L.A., and now it's 10 years later.
Was your first show, was it a bomb? I've had people say that their first show was perfect.
Yeah.
But then the bombs came. Some said they bombed right off the bat.
The first show was great. It felt great. And I didn't really bomb until like a few months in, and then I bombed hard.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, man. And that's when I started kind of bombing. But the first show I did, I ended up watching it like years later. Actually, you know what? I ended up watching it years later. I did it in North Hollywood, the show, and I remember where I was years later when I watched the show, and I was in Denver.
Wow.
I had it on my computer, and I was like, I'm going to watch this.
Yeah.
And it was so bad as a comedian, just like watching it now, like after a few years knowing kind of how to do it a little bit.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my God, this is awful. I couldn't get through it, to be honest. The audience was laughing, but I was like, ooh, cringy.
Well, that's at least a good start. They could have not been laughing, and you could have thought it was terrible.
Yeah.
When you say that, you know, months in, it was your first, that's when you kind of had your first, like, bomb. Like, what's going on inside your head when this is happening? Like,
it's crazy. It's like a, you don't know what's going on. Because I know that, like, I've always been able to make people laugh, whether or not I'm on stage. It's just what I obsess about, you know? And I love doing it. And my friends, I would always make fun of them, make fun of myself. And it's my favorite thing ever. So when you're on stage and you bomb first for the first time, you're just like, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. I know I'm funny. Mm. But also, there's a way to be on stage, and you don't know how to do that. Mm-hmm. Just because you're a funny person doesn't mean you're a good comedian.
Yeah. No, I was going to say, you know, there's a lot of people, you know, I have friends, a lot of people that are funny, that, you know, one of the things people will throw out, you should be a comedian.
Yeah.
You know, what do you think for people that maybe in their head are convincing themselves this is something they want to do that they probably don't realize that's part of that world, that maybe something that's harder than they may not realize?
I guess just what I said, you know, there's a way to be on stage. It's different than being with your friends.
Yeah.
And if you're good on stage, you can get to the point where it seems like you're doing that, but you have a lot of work put in, a lot of hours put in. I mean, you can't just do stand-up if you just think you can do stand-up. It really is. I know it doesn't seem like it. I know there are people out there that will be like, well, but maybe I could. Yeah. But like, it's like anything else. It's like another job, you know?
Well, you've been staying busy. Obviously, you were part of the show on Dateable.
Yeah.
You got your Netflix special.
Right.
You're staying on that grind. What's it like, you know, putting together comedy special? Because you said you're working on your next one now.
Yeah.
You know, what's it like when you're preparing for that? Like, is it just like going to these shows and, you know, practicing your content?
Yeah.
And, you
know? You know, I'll go up with ideas, and then I'll start working out the ideas, and I'll do that in L.A., you know, because if they're not as good, then, you know, I don't have to worry about people paying for tickets and coming to see me in Denver. But and then I'll flesh out the ideas, and then I'll kind of construct them. I'll be like, well, this bit can go here, this can go in the beginning, that can go at the end, and then I just kind of like solidify it. And then what happens is I'll set up a tour, or, you know, so I'll do dates like this, like I'm in Denver here, I'm in Fort Lauderdale next week or whatever. And then I'll just let it grow. I'll start with like 35, 40 minutes. And then by the end of like 6 months, it'll be over an hour. And, you know, I'll find out what's funny within those bits, and it just kind of expands.
So a lot of people are going to be seeing you this weekend to laugh at Comedy Works downtown. Like I said, your tickets at ComedyWorks.com. Who's making you laugh right now? Who are you a fan of in the comedy world?
My favorite is Bill Burr. I love him. Guys that make me laugh, that have always made me laugh, are Brian Callen, Brody Stevens, you know, Brent's great, Brent Morin. You know, I try to take guys to open for me that make me laugh as well. So, you know, the newer guys.
Do you have that?
Gerard Carmichael is a great guy. He's really funny.
Did you bring some guys with you for?
Yeah, I brought an opener. Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah.
Well, you're gonna be at Comedy Works downtown this weekend. What's next for you, man?
I'm doing a lot of touring. I have a movie coming out on Netflix called XOXO. It drops August 26th. And then I have another movie coming out in theaters called Flock of Dudes, and that's in October. And then I'm going to shoot my next special before the year ends at some point. I don't know where or when, but...
So you're staying busy.
Yeah.
You're putting up to work. Well,
right.
We want to thank you for making time for us. I know the mice, like I said, the earlier shows have pretty much sold out, so if you want to get tickets to the midnight show, you got to go to ComedyWorks.com before that sells out too, or he can't do a 2 a.m. set. They got to shut down Comedy Works at some point, you know? They got to sleep as well. So get those at ComedyWorks.com. Chris, thank you so much for making time for us, man.